In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O my God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee, and I beg pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love thee. Welcome to Alive. This is Claire here, and I have a very, very special guest in the studio today. Now, last week, if you were listening to the program, you would have heard me say, if I'm lucky enough, I might be able to convince Father Clovis to come along and talk about Trey Fontane. So, Carl, I spoke to you during the week, and yes, I am very, very fortunate that Father has agreed to talk about this wonderful apparition in just outside Rome, Trey Fontane. So, Father Clovis, welcome.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
Yes, and so Father Clovis, would you like to just tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're from and how you fit into all of, why do you come to New Zealand and that sort of thing?
Okay, how long do I have? 2 hours? 3 hours?
Yeah, off you go.
okay, I'm from the island of St. Lucia in the Caribbean, which is always summer.
Oh, okay.
And I'm from a Catholic family. I have four brothers. All of us are Catholics, and all of us are practicing, thank God. And my nephews and nieces also practice, thank God. We grew up in London. I followed my parents to England in the 1960s, as did my brothers. So we grew up for the most part in London. And again, this is what I find really surprising, that growing up in London in the 60s and 70s, we were able to keep our faith, you know, practicing family. And I studied at London University, as did my brothers as well. Then I got, basically, I qualified in mathematics. And in 1978, when John Paul was elected, I thought about a vocation to priesthood, which had always been with me from a child. But that was really the catalyst. That's what catapulted me into the priesthood. And so the following year, I entered the seminary. And then 4 years later, I was considered a late vocation. So 4 years later, at the age of 32, I was ordained by John Paul.
Wow.
And
at St. Peter's?
In St. Peter's, yes.
Oh, my goodness. And was it your first Mass there?
No. Well, yes, it would be my first, because it's been celebrated with the Pope. But my first Mass, in fact, was at the Church of St. Alphonsus, where the image of Our Lady Perpetual Help, the original icon is housed, homed. And the reason for that was because all through my studies in Rome, I used to go every Wednesday to the church, and with two of us, myself and Felix Dinis, who's an Indian, he's now an Indian priest, we would go there, the two of us, during the siesta, wake up the sacristan, who was very, very glad that someone came, and we would make the novena. And so I could not do anything other than have my first Mass there. And so every time I go to Rome, I always make to go back to Our Lady Perpetual Help. And part of the reason also was my very first visit to Rome, as I was in my, about 22, I think, I'd gone on holiday, and it was a Sunday. Everybody else was going to sleep, a siesta, and I thought, there's no way I'm going to come to Rome and sleep. Forget that. And so I just wandered through the streets because everything was closed Sunday. This would be 1972 or so. And I passed this church between St. John Lateran and St. Mary Major's. And I just felt an incredible pull. And I went into the church. And then I saw the image of Our Lady Perpetual Help, and I just sat down and I just stayed there. So that was my first introduction to Our Lady Perpetual Help.
Amazing. Now, Father, you gave me a guided tour around Rome one day. I was very, very blessed. I didn't have a lot of time in Rome, my only trip. So is that the church that we stopped at?
Probably, yes.
Okay, and yes. Where the Jewish man was converted. Is that the one?
No, no.
Oh, that's another one.
No, that's St. Andrea Valle.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, that's St. Andrea, which is not the church.
Okay.
Yes, so I was ordained by John Paul and went back to St. Lucia, where my bishop put me in teaching. So I was teaching maths in secondary school. Eventually I became principal. And then we had the issue of abortion, which we fought and lost. But the result was that it was very difficult for me to remain in the school because the government was now very anti-me.
Mm.
In fact, I had the dubious privilege of being called enemy of the state.
Oh, no. That's a very... it's a bit of an honour, actually.
And and so I went into basically pro-life work.
Mm.
And again, one of those providential things, I happened to be in the right place at the right time. Colleen Bayer phoned my brother and said that she was looking for a priest. Did he know of anyone? And he says, yeah, I have one right here. And so Colleen invited me to New Zealand.
Mm. And your bishop was happy with that?
Oh, he was very happy.
Okay. Right.
So I've been coming to New Zealand nearly every year, basically doing pro-life work. Speaking about life issues and sharing the faith.
We are very, very blessed. In fact, Father is giving a series of talks virtually every Sunday evening at Te Atatū Holy Family Church. There's only a couple of ones that you're missing. Father, would you like to tell us?
The next one, the next session begins the first Sunday in August.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be speaking about the natural law.
Okay.
So that's right through August. And the session in September, I can't remember what the topic is.
Mm-hmm. But you're going to give, I think, four in September.
Yeah, in fact, they'd be on family. Yeah. Family issues.
Okay. I couldn't get to the ones in July. I'm very sad about that. But apparently they have been recorded.
They have been recorded, yes.
Okay.
And I think they should be able to get them at Family Life International's website.
Yeah, we'll definitely let people know what the links are to those. Yes, fantastic. In fact, Father, on Facebook, your is it nephews who often put on your sermons on Facebook?
That's right, yes.
Yeah, they're fantastic. No, we're very, very blessed to have you, Father. Very privileged indeed.
Thank you.
No, that's fantastic. Father is actually an expert on Fatima. And
I wish I were.
Oh, no, he is, believe me. And what about what you did in Rome recently in the conference? Can you tell us a little bit about that, Father?
Tre Fontane, which is not a widely known apparition. I first came across it in 1989. Which in itself is a story, in fact, because I also happen to be a witness to the miracle.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Miracle of the sun.
Yes,
the miracle of the sun. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. I'll have to touch your shoulder, Father. And so what happened on that particular one? Because I know the miracle of the sun's happened many times.
Yes.
Was that on the 12th of April?
Oh, it's the 12th of April, 89.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay, so what happened?
I was studying in Rome. I was doing canon law, and it was in 88. There were a group of six of us, six priests, and we used to study. We were all doing canon law, and we used to have a study group.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd collate our notes and we shared the notes, and we became very good friends. So there was Ekopon, who was Thai. There was Francis Senenaika, who was Sri Lankan. Benedict was Tanzanian. Martin was Nigerian. There was myself and Kenneth Spence, who was Trinidadian. And so we'd meet. We were fairly good friends. And it was the 12th of April, 1988. I happened to meet Ekapon coming in. So I said, oh, where have you been? He's looking kind of glum. He says, oh, I went to see the miracle. I said, what miracle? He said, miracle of the sun at Tre Fontane. So I said, did you see it? He said, no. So I asked him, because I was interested more in Our Lady than the miracle. So I said to him, he explained to me that apparently on the 12th of April every year, there will be a phenomenon in the sun, the sun moving and changing colors and so on. And so he went and he didn't see anything. So I said to him, well, if you're going next year, I'd like to come, remind me. So he said, yes, and I forgot all about it. Then it must have been the day before, so it'd be 11th, it'd be 89 now. He said to me, tomorrow's the 12th, and I'm going to Tre Fontane again. So I said, okay, I'll come with you. So I'm very excited, because if I try and share any information I have. And so I said to the others, I told them about it and asked them if they would come as well. And I wouldn't say who, but one of them said, are there any Italians involved? So I said, well, yes, he said, I don't believe a word of it. He said, so I'm not going to come. I'm going to waste my time. The others were somewhat skeptical. And what's interesting, we were all priests. We were all ordained. And only one, Francis from Sri Lanka, he said he'd come. So I told Ekapon that three of us would be going. So on the 12th, the following day, Ekapon said that he was going early because he wanted to get a good place. So I agreed. I didn't have a problem. And Francis says, no, he had to have lunch. And I thought, good grief. So I said to Ekapon, well, I think I know where it is, so we'll come after lunch. So Ekapon, off he went. And I was trying to hurry Francis. He didn't seem in any hurry to finish lunch. Anyway, we set off. We got the bus. And all the way, I was thinking, I should have gone to Ekapon. We arrived at Tre Fontane, it's a little hill. Steps carved into the side. And the place was packed with women in black. And going up the steps was difficult, and I was thinking, gosh, why didn't I come earlier? I can see why Ekapon wanted to get there earlier. Anyway, we arrived at the top and went into the waters. Then just the entrance of the cave with a glass front to protect from the weather, I guess. And there was a stranger statue of Our Lady, which I did not like. It was she had a creamish gown with a green cape over her head. You could see her hair. She had the book in a classical book on her breast. And a sash, and I thought, this doesn't look right. I just always associate Our Lady with white,
yes, blue,
or
red.
Blue, yeah. But never green. So okay. So I said a prayer, and we went out into the back of the side of the cave. And there's an opening with another part of the hill going up. It might have been about 3 meters or so high. And there were trees all around them, as I remember. We're talking, 36 years ago now. But I remember the trees, eucalyptus trees. And again, there were just thousands of people there. I think there's something like probably 3,000 people easily. Mm-hmm. And so there wasn't much room to move, and everybody was sort of jostling to get the best,
of course,
places to see. And then suddenly someone said, the miracle. So, and others started to take up the cry. So I said to Francis, oh, here we go. We're going to see the miracle now. I was totally skeptical.
Doubting Thomas.
And lo and behold, I noticed that this was April. It was, the sky was clear. It was a blue sky, a bit like today. Mm-hmm. The sun was very bright. It was very warm. And we could not look at the sun. That much I remember. But as I glanced up, because I knew, I come from the Caribbean, we don't look at the sun. you don't do that. I looked up, and I could see that it had hazed over. But there weren't any clouds. So I said to Francis, something's wrong with the sun. He said, Clovis, yes, I think so. I said, no. It became a dull disc, silver, So I said to him, no. This is the eucalyptus leaves. The heat is probably causing the leaves to sweat, and this is what's causing this, So I said, it's no miracle. It's just the leaves from the vapor from the leaves of the eucalyptus trees. So I said, let's move out into the open. So we moved away from the trees. So there was no, if there were vapor from the leaves, it'd be going straight up because there wasn't any wind or anything to blow it. And lo and behold, it became even clearer. Then the sun was like a silver disc in the sky. And it seemed to be pulsing, almost like it was breathing, So I said, no, Francis, this is ridiculous, This isn't happening. We're hallucinating. So let's speak to each other, again, I'm a mathematician, so I tried to find a natural, rational explanation for what I was seeing. And so we were talking. Francis is changing color. He said, yes, I know. And I remember it being blue. I remember it being red, green. And then there was a combination of blue and red. So the outer was red, I think, and the inner was blue. That's what I'm recollecting now. And he was seeing slightly different colors, So I said to him, Francis, this isn't happening. This makes no sense. And we were talking all the time. I insisted on speaking, so that... because I knew people who listen, they don't speak, right? They don't. I presume they don't, anyway. And then this went on for a considerable amount of time, might easily be half an hour. And the people were praying and they were saying the miracle and calling the name of the Lord and so on. And we were right at the back, of this crowd. So then suddenly the announcement was made there was going to be mass, and if any of the priests wished to can celebrate, they should come to the sacristy. And now the sacristy was at the other end of this lock. So I said, so Francis said, well, let's go to mass. I said, there's no way, Francis, we can get through this crowd. Look at it. Mm. And I'm not one to push my way through crowds. Mm. I said, there's no way we're coming, so let's forget that. And he said, come on, Clovis. I said, no, we're not going to do it. And lo and behold, he moved, and the crowd, and these are Italian ladies who do not let anybody through. They just opened up, literally. And at the time, I remember thinking, this is like the Red Sea.
It sounds like it.
Literally. I couldn't understand how it was that they just opened up without asking or anything. Mm-hmm. And the two of us made it to the sacristy to find the other priests, the bishops were there, a couple of bishops. They'd all already formed the procession. And we were just in time, threw on the alb and the stoles, joined procession, off we went. And so we arrived in front of the... And there were seats for the priests, and the mass began. And the sun was so hot and so bright. They had given us like a booklet for the mass, and I had to hold the booklet over my eyes because the sun was just so bright, we could not look at it.
Mm. Well... So the apparition had ended.
Yes, it ended.
Yep.
The mass is normal. The mass was ended. We returned to the sacristy. We invested. And when we came out, there it was again. The sun in the sky. It was blue. I remember this time the end was blue. There were tourists there, in shorts and so on, just looking, a total amazement at it. Mm-hmm. And by that time, it was going towards evening, sunset. So I guess it must have been going 5:36. And they were watching this blue disc, just mm-hmm. looking, and we looked as well. And then we headed back to the house. And on the way, I'm saying, Francis, this makes no sense. I don't need signs. What does it mean? I hadn't a clue about the nature of the history of nature or anything of the apparition. I said, I don't need signs. No, I believe. Why do we see this? And he couldn't answer either. We arrived back at the house, and lo and behold, there was Ekapon. So Ekapon said, did you guys go? I said, yes. I said to him, did you? He said, yes. He said, but I didn't see anything. And I looked at Francis, and we looked at each other. And I said to Ekapon, so where were you? He says, I was on the hillock by the trees. I said, but everybody was looking and saying they could see, but I didn't see anything. So he said, did you see anything? So Francis and I looked at each other and just changed the subject. I really felt sorry for him because he really wanted to see. And I didn't go looking to see any sign or any miracle or anything else. And Francis just came along because we used to go everywhere together. And so that was my introduction to Tre Fontane.
That is amazing, Father. I actually didn't know that you had been there on one of the days that there was amazing, a miracle. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know where it goes. That's nearly 25 minutes that we have just spent. We've sort of skipped over, though, for the last couple of weeks I have been talking about the apparitions. So we're going to, in the next program, continue this, what you're saying, and then we'll go back to the beginning and talk a little bit more about Bruno and the actual message that he had. So make sure that you tune in next week. And Father, can I ask you to push our music, please?
The road is long. So long.